Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we are the 99%, and of course, we support the Sea Shepherds. Yeah, so get off my case. We actually support something. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, I'm the scorekeeper, and I'm waiting for the big dog. I don't know if he's actually driving over here or if he's going to be calling in just a moment. But, hey, he is the man. He is the myth. Life is good. And, hey, we're going to see what's going to happen in just a moment. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Saturday morning extravaganza. Oh, yes, and I may have just determined our new theme song. I was thinking of using this one, though. You guys may like that one. You know, that's the Top Gun theme anthem. But maybe even this one might be good. Come on, today. You guys remember that one? That's Danger Zone. Could try that one. And we haven't determined different types of music, but we're going to see. But hey, it's all good in the hood. Yeah, I like Danger Zone. That was kind of cool. But the Top Gun anthem was the best one. But hey, we're going to see. And bigger is better, ladies and gentlemen. No doubt about it, bigger is better. And speaking of such, Sci-Fi Pulse is in the chat room. And he is already talking about his size. Oh, my God. Ian, dude, I already told you I love you, man. But it's okay. If you want everyone else to know how big, hey, that's cool. I get it. No problem. Let's see. What would his... I don't know if I have a song for him yet. He's been part of the family for a long time. You have to come up with an intro song, ladies and gentlemen. But hey, thank you for bearing with us. Don't know what's been going on. I was in a forced lockdown yesterday. It's kind of cool, I guess. Feel a little rested. But sure enough, I'm back on the radio, and now I'm worried again. So what if that's telling for the situation in my life? You know, since I'm waiting for the big dog to get here, I could even talk about my Maxim magazines. We haven't done a Maxim magazine on the Daily 15 in a little while, but the Daily 15 is back. We do have difficulty from time to time that a conference room is not available, so we do it when we can. And yes, I'm talking about the radio program. So we ask you to hand on over to blogtalkradio.com/DAILY15 for the Daily 15. I remember when we used to do it 4 days a week. Now we can only do it twice. But the Commodore is always on me. You know, he's always tugging at my shoestrings because he's so high in the ground that, you know, hey, it is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know that Terry will not be calling in today. He sent me a text message that he's not in the area. So, hey, it's all right, pal. We'll get you when we get you. And look, right now, just right now, my on-air stream just had 2 hours left. That's funny. That's how screwed up the radio thingies are today. So hopefully they'll get that together. Oh. And yes, and he is talking about how big one can be. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I know, Ian. That's not very good of me. Me not very professional. But yes, I owe Ian not one, but two, but three reviews. Yeah, he kind of forgot already. That's okay. If he only thinks it's one, that's fine. So when I hand him three, he'll be a lot happier. So it's good. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go over the scores from yesterday in Major League Baseball, of course. I got to tell you, the Yankees took a little licking yesterday from Oakland. I think that might be even two in a row. I don't even know where they are. But in 11 innings, wow, Atlanta edged out Washington in 11, 11-10. Baltimore beat up on Cleveland 10-2. Detroit doubled down on Chicago White Sox 4-2. And, of course, Pittsburgh edged Miami 4-3. San Francisco walloped Philadelphia 7-2. Like it matters. Philadelphia just really is, it's just no good. They're no good. By the way, they're no good. I've noticed there are fewer Philly fans that are hanging around and their caps are already gone. They're losers. Cincinnati made it 3-1 over Milwaukee and in 14 innings. Wow, Tampa Bay edged out Seattle 4-3. Toronto beat up on Boston 6-1 and an 11. Los Gemelitos de Minnesota edged Los Reales de Kansas City 2-1. And, of course, St. Louis beat out Chicago 4-1. Arizona Diamondbacks 13, Houston 18. Of course, San Diego beat up on Colorado 9-5. The aforementioned Oakland Athletics edged out the New York Yankees 3-2. And, of course, the Los Angeles Angels of Chavez Ravine beat out on the Texas Rangers 6-1. That's kind of sweet. That one feels good, I got to tell you. But, hey, we'll see. Yes, Ian, that is dirty. There's no doubt about it, but that's okay. Now, looking at the statistics, of course, the New York Yankees lead in the East at 57-36, 6-13 record, and they're up by 8 over Baltimore. In the Central, the Chicago White Sox are 50-43 with a .538 winning percentage. They're just over Detroit by half a game, Cleveland by 3. And then, of course, in the American League West, you have the Texas Rangers at 55-37, 5 games ahead of the Los Angeles Angels of Chavez Ravine. In the National League East, of course, Washington is 53-38, 2.5 over Atlanta. In the Central, Cincinnati, 53-40 with a .570 winning percentage, is half a game ahead of Pittsburgh. Wow. We haven't said that in 18 years. Not wow, but half a game ahead of Pittsburgh, who's in second place. Woohoo! They've had losing records for 18 consecutive years. They're in second place in the Central this year. Wow! Of course, in the West, the San Francisco Giants are 52-41 with a .559 winning percentage. They are 2.5 ahead of the Los Angeles Dodgers of Anaheim, Los Dodgers. We'll just call them Los Dodgers, at 50-44. Wow. Let me see. Look at the numbers. Let me see. 559, 570, 582, 598, 538, 613. Once again, the New York Yankees are the best team in baseball. That's right. Yes, the best team in baseball. Once again. Sorry, kids. I believe this weekend in Major League Baseball news on Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, it is the crowning achievement for Major League Baseball. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony will be taking place this Sunday over at Cooperstown, New York. We all know who's going in. The shortstop from the Cincinnati Reds. Whoa, what's going on? My screen just changed here. It wasn't good. Yes, here it is. Barry Larkin is going into the Hall of Fame. No, I don't want video, ladies and gentlemen. I don't. But he is, as you all know, he had some decent numbers. We all know that we have some results right here, of course, that Jack Morris finished with 66.7%. Jeff Bagwell had 56. Both will be considered again, which will include Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, Mike Piazza, Craig Biggio, and Curt Schilling. So we have a cheater, a cheater, a cheater, a mama's boy, a professional, and a guy who's in bankruptcy. Wow. This is going to be the year of the steroid inductions. Well, actually, that's next year. But hey, congratulations to Mr. Larkin. Doesn't matter what his numbers are. He is a Hall of Famer. It's done. You know, it's over with. I'm not going to debate whether he is a Hall of Famer or not. Not the point. But, hey, it's all good. Let me see. Whoa, here we go. We're getting crap in the chat room. Dude, I'm not familiar with baseball. Give me a few minutes and we'll call in and you can explain the rules to me. Oh, sweet. Mean you just hit the effing ball, right? Yeah. Thanks, Ian. There's a lot more to baseball. You don't even like cricket, so let it go. I mean, dude, come on. Calm down. Please, be nice. So, scanning the sports for the latest news, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? I did the big dog fell asleep. I'm going to go pink him. Let me see. I'm going to send him a text message. Maybe he's on his way over. I don't know. Let's see if I can get a hold of him. The big dog? Yes. That's it. That's the extent of the message. So if he's asleep, good for him. I woke him up, and if he's not, then, well, there it is. He's on his way over, and he'll contact me. Oh, my goodness. There's golf news, and really don't really give a damn for that. I really don't. I know I should, but I don't. As we all know, in NFL news, after struggling through much of last season, Justin Tucker has refocused. Yeah, you know, that's great, but really, You know what? If I don't have anyone with me, I can just call it a program right now. Yeah. I know the trade deadline's coming up in Major League Baseball, and the Dodgers actually got themselves Ryan Dempster, which was kind of cool. It just goes to show you that when Doyer fans think that their team really is not going to be in it, they really are, and they, did what they were supposed to do. Ryan Dempster coming over to the Dodgers, I think, is a good move. But, you know, in 2, 3, 4 weeks when we find out whether he sucks or not, you know, everyone will be laughing at it. But when you look at the numbers genuinely, Ryan Dempster is a winner throughout his entire career. He should be up to what the Dodgers are going to be up for. That they're in the playoff run. I think that was a good thing. Now, the Dodgers recently, I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday when they made that deal. That was good. But as far as the Major League Baseball trade deadline, we have 10 days, 6 hours, 47 minutes and such before it comes to pass. So, yes, that's it. In bigger news, ladies and gentlemen, the Olympics will be opening this Sunday. And oh boy, I'm going to be checking out the swimming stuff. Hell yeah. That Canadian woman, athlete, yeah, I said it. She is beautiful, I got to tell you. I'm going to be checking that out. And, of course, we're also going to have, beach volleyball? Again, when women are on TV in a bikini and they call it a sport, I'm in. What part did we miss? I mean, give me a break. I think it's just absolutely awesome. The Olympics is guaranteed a viewer for that. But hey, it's okay. I won't say any more. Of course, Spain's Paul Gasol, France's Tony Parker, and Argentina's Manu Ginobili all could challenge the U.S. at the Olympics. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the internationals actually have quite a bit of talent out there that could take on the American national team. The American national team is loaded with an incredible amount of talent, but if I'm not mistaken, they've only won 2 golds. So if we really are the best in the world, I don't understand why we're not dominating all the time. But, hey, it's all good. Doesn't matter. We know the differences in the international game as opposed to the American game. Look, I think basketball would be great if they get rid of the, 3-second defensive penalty or something. Look, I fairly understand that the big dog goes out of his way to explain it to me, and I still don't get that 3-second illegal defense call. Hey, come on! Play the defense you want! I mean, whatever. But it's okay. As I understand it, the international game is a bit more open than the American game, and I believe it's also the distance of the 3-point line. It's a little bit closer, which is, I guess, a good thing. I mean, the NBA messed around with the 3-point line for a while, but then they put it back out to where it needs to be. So I think it's 22 feet, 8 inches. They should just make it 23 feet. I mean, come on. I know. Pitcher's mound is 60 feet, 6 inches, you know, 606. It's an interesting number. But, hey, it is what it is. Of course, once again, I want to welcome Sci-Fi Pulse in the chat room and Almighty Sports Show. Huzzah! I got to come up with a better intro. Maybe I should record that. You know, I could play this one for Ian. This one might be kind of cool.
Y'all listen up. Here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue.
That one would be good for Ian. Or how about this one? Hey, you know what? That one might not be bad. It's a modern version of an ABBA song. No, no, that wouldn't be one for Ian. I'm going to have to think of another one as I go on. But it's Saving Me by Nickelback. That one might be interesting. But hey, must be nice. Hey, you know, pimping all over the world. That might be Ian's song. I like that one for some reason. This version is by Grab Her. Yeah, okay. Fair enough, Ian. I appreciate that. Wow. I'm starting to look at my phone right now. Oh, my God. Messages are coming in. Yeah, I was on a forced timeout yesterday by my wife. Kind of disappointing. Wasn't able to play with the kids as I normally do. It was a day off, and I had to make it a domestic day. I still had quite a bit of fun. It was good. But, yeah. The only way she could do it was hide my phone. I found it this morning over by the coffee machine. So I think that's her way of saying, okay, you behaved yesterday. Here it is. So, yeah, I'm not looking through it. There is a lot of stuff. Now, in some additional news in the NHL, ladies and gentlemen, apparently the labor talks are underway. And this is from Sporting News. The latest news from the NHL's labor negotiations is that NHLPA Executive Director Donald Fehr put it on Friday. There is no news. And, of course, sometimes no news is good news. Hey, that's the old baseball guy. Now he's doing it for the NHL? Wow. Friday was the third consecutive day of talks between the league and the union, who are aiming to come to terms on a new collective bargaining before the current one expires on September 15th. Talks are set to resume next Wednesday, next week in Toronto, with Fehr saying the focus would shift to non-core financial issues after this week centered on the proposal issued by management last Friday. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, who I believe was, he was for the Olympics back in 1984, he was like the number two guy. Number one guy went to baseball, and number two guy went to NHL, and he's still commissioner. Wow. Said that he would be happy to let the union set the agenda for next week's sessions. While it does not appear that a counterproposal from the union is imminent, both sides continue to sound a generally positive tone. As far as negotiations, do you know how I interpret Gary Bettman's line? I really don't give a flying F what the NHL does. But to continue, that's just my interpretation, my happiness isn't the issue, Bettman said. There's a process that collective bargaining entails, and we're moving through the process. I haven't put a stopwatch on it yet. There's obviously a lot of work to be done in a relatively short period of time, but I think we can work toward that goal and accomplish that goal. Quite frankly, I think Mr. Bettman is talking about having sex. But, again, he could be negotiating as well. For sex. I don't know. But think about it. My happiness isn't the issue. There's a process that collective bargaining entails, and we're moving through that process. You see, if I get rid of the word collective bargaining, think about it. I haven't put a stopwatch on it. There's obviously a lot of work to be done in a relatively short period of time. That was the cue that Bettman was talking about sex. But I think we can work toward that goal and accomplish that goal. Well, there you go. You guys figure it out. And I'm getting some comments in the chat room. Yep, though that's never stopped me before. Yep, want to welcome The Edge with Gary this morning. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have programs in the chat room, put it in there. And we will gladly give you some airtime. We just love to do it because we're all warm and fuzzy this morning. I just saw Gabriel Iglesias on Netflix. This guy's funny. He's very, very funny. I was at Target yesterday late at night, you know, doing the domestic thing. And then I saw another one. I'm not fat. I'm fluffy. He's really funny, in my humble opinion. I know that was not correct English, but what do I care? He is funny. And if you guys have Netflix, check it out. Look him up, Gabriel Iglesias. I don't want to spoil anything, but he's funny. I may have actually spoiled it by saying that. Continuing with the NHL, because we are talking about small and little issues. While there are obvious differences between the league and the union that must be reconciled for a new agreement to be made, the continued cordiality of the process has to be seen as encouraging. Look, they're talking about first date stuff. Think about it. Remove collective bargaining, and these guys are talking about that issue. I've been in some negotiations which, from the beginning, were much more verbally contentious than this one has been. Think about this. Yo, ho, are we doing it? You gotta take me out to dinner first. Think about that. Whether or not the issues were as large, whether or not we reacted on the player side, okay, now that's another active word. Oh, well, no, guys are players. So let's continue with this. We reacted on the player side in the same way that you do when you got this proposal. I don't believe he really said that, when you got this proposal. It's really difficult to tell. The dynamics of each discussion tend to be, I think, self-contained. Really? Yeah, when a guy's hitting on a girl's hitting on a guy, or a guy's hitting on a guy, and a girl's hitting on a girl, they're generally self-contained. Thank you. Gosh, collective bargaining is basically that. Whoa, Sci-Fi Pulse is now saying, Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. Now, when you start giving me ideas, oh, okay, well, here we go. Ian should be the Sex Pistols, God Save the Queen. I'll have to check that one out. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 347-637-2306. And I don't know. You know what? I'm going to punk the big dog. Who just sent me this email? Starship Mawson. The Mawson Club magazine for August 2012. No, that's a delete. Okay. If I were in my Star Trek show, that'd be different, but not now. So, checking around for a lot of other stuff, ladies and gentlemen, as far as sporting news. Look, what more is there to say on the NHL? I was told that I was surprised that we were not covering the issue that happened in Colorado yesterday. And again, I was on a lights out. You know, the entire staff has access to all the channels. Maybe they should have done something. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, I just got something right here. Life on the Block. Wait a minute, I thought he came over to the Dodgers. Whoa, I guess my information was incorrect. What the hell, what time of the article is this? 8 hours ago. I thought he came over to the Dodgers. I got the trade issue. Oh. Chicago Cubs right-hander Ryan Dempster must have felt like that Friday night at Busch Stadium, as the entire baseball world has heard for weeks Dempster is going to be traded. I thought the Dodgers picked him up, but no, he still pitched in Chicago Cubs uniform. So I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I missed it. I mean, it's not like I'm paying attention to the Cubs. I mean, who does? But hey, whatever. Come on, guys. Come on in. You know the number. Or you can use your Skype thingy at the very top of the chat room. Press a little S, you know, that Superman thing. I know it's Batman time of year, but that little S up there is a super neat connection. You can use Skype. But thinking of that stuff, yeah, we didn't really cover it because it happened at about 2 in the morning, and by the time I was awake, it was already like 8 hours later. If it would have, had it been live at the moment when we knew about it, we would have covered it. But since it was 8 hours after the fact, we're not. But I don't mean to be disrespectful and dismiss it as such. NDB Media does cover breaking news and additional stories as such. It was a tragedy what happened in Aurora, Colorado. And our hearts, our thoughts, and our prayers are with the family of those that were lost, as well as the survivors. As I've expressed to all of you, in my family, something happened in September of last year where my daughter witnessed a gruesome event in high school. She was 5 to 10 feet away from the moment, and I've learned survivor's guilt is horrible. It's difficult. Those that witness it and survive are conflicted and have issues, and just because the families are grieving, it doesn't mean that other people are grieving and have other issues. We don't know what's wrong with that young man, 24-year-old, whatever his name. I'm not even going to bother to mention his name. He is in custody, and it's just sad. It is really sad. And I'm going to leave it with that. If you guys have any comments in the chat room, gladly read them on air. But I'm going to leave it at that, because it was really, really something horrible. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned, we are going to go ahead and continue. Couch Potato's not in. Hell, Cuervo's not in. And the big dog's not in. You know what? I'm going to punk him. I'm going to wake him up. Let's go see. Let's see if we can wake up the big dog. You know, maybe he hasn't put in his battery this morning. Or maybe he was driving over and he just didn't make it. Well, let me see. Okay, his phone number is 162... Just kidding. I used to love doing that to Mark Lee when we were calling our guests. Oh, it was great. I pretend to read it on air. Oh! We're arranging... Okay, here we go. Big dog, wake up. Probably going to answer. Come on, Peter. Wake up, dude. You know who's calling.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 62669.
Whoa. That was going to give out the number. Whoops. Well, we had to cut that one out. Sorry, big dog. But all right. My co-host must not be feeling well this morning, so I do apologize. Well, hey, I got that one wrong, and I also got the other thing wrong. Wow. Oh, also, for Major League Baseball in the Hall of Fame, Ron Santo is also going in. Oh, my goodness. Hey, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, going back to baseball about Zach Greinke. I mean, come on. Come on, guys. He gave up 13 earned runs and 15 innings most recently. He's 9-3 with a 3.57 ERA. He excels in small teams, but he doesn't do very good in big markets, so just remember that. Yeah, thank you, Ian. We're getting the barking. You know, I didn't hear the barking in the background. Sometimes he does show up, and, you know, our thoughts are with the big dog because we know he's not feeling very well. I did speak to him at length yesterday. Maybe he was awake all night. He just hasn't woken up. I just woke him up now. So we'll see. If you got any news stories you'd like to go over, by all means, put them in the chat room. We'll gladly do that. Now, there's some more baseball rumors that the Jays and Astros complete a 10-player deal. Wow. This was 21 hours and 47 minutes ago. The Toronto Blue Jays and Houston Astros have agreed to a deal that will send pitchers Brendan Lyon, J.A. Happ, I thought that was A.J. Happ, and David Carpenter to Toronto for 7 players. This is according to the Houston Chronicle. Among the 7 players headed to Houston are reliever Francisco Cordero, outfielder Ben Francisco. The Astros will receive minor league pitchers Joe Musgrave, Asher Wojciechowski? Wojciechowski? Is that his name? Really? Like, as in, you know, what is it? Barney? You know, the police station thingy? Wojciechowski? David Rollins and minor league pitcher Carlos Perez and a player to be named. Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen Bull Durham, and if you haven't, you've got to see Bull Durham. A player to be named. When Kevin Costner says, well, when they ask him, who are you? I'm the player to be named later. That was a great moment. That was really cool. Oh, Reggie Jackson's back in uniform for the Yankees after blasting A-Rod. Well, you know what? A-Rod's a pussy. I'm still going to put my Yankee jersey on a little bit. But hey, I guess I'm not being paid what Reggie's being paid. I mean, Reggie's being paid huge amounts of money just to be around the team. Yeah. I guess lessons should be learned from that. I haven't learned them, so what the hell. I'm going to refresh my switchboard here.
Yes, I just did that. I refreshed it.
And nothing. Wow, big dog. Well, as we all know, in golf, yeah, you know, as much as I hate golf, there's actually news. Oh, my goodness. Wood is trailing Snedeker. Scott threw 36 holes at the Royal Latham St. Anne's, England. When Brad Snedeker located his wayward tee shot on Royal Latham's par 4, 18th hole on Friday, he peered down and saw his ball burrowed in a bed of damp, clumply grass and calf-high fescue. Think about it. Again, this could be that first date stuff, the descriptions of what he's about to do.
Can you get it? Inquired his caddy.
I mean, that's like two guys at a bar. Can you get that? Hey, dude, over there, that one at 9 o'clock. Can you get that? Think about it. Scott Vail, meaning could Snedeker get a club on the ball? We continue.
Oh, yeah, Snedeker said. To the green?
center of look down again. Crapped. And that would have been Roger more likely. Cracked an impish grin and then reached for a wedge. I was going to read wedgie. Refusing to veer from the safety-first strategy that he had followed so religiously over the first 35 holes. Schnedeker pitched his ball to the fairway, spun a lob wedge to 10 feet, and from there, well, if you know anything about Schnedeker's putting stroke, it was as good as in. So are we saying that it was equal to, like, horseshoes and nuclear bombs and stuff like that? I don't know. But, hey, that's the news. Guy must be in the lead. Tiger Woods fired a second straight 67 on Friday and trails Brian Schnedeker by 4 shots. That's going to be the word of the day. Schnedeker. Yes. Come on, Ian. You're the English guy. Say Schnedeker. Come on, guys, in the chat room, please. Oh, let's play this game again, guys. This is the beauty of America. Okay, look. This is a consistency. I'm going to spell a word. It has 5 letters. Close your eyes. And once I spell it, say the word. Don't worry, it's not nasty. Well, except for maybe a few people it might be. But here's the word. M-I-A-M-I. Yes! Miami. In Spanish, that word is Miami. In English, that word is Miami. In German, that word is Achtung Miami. In Spain, it is Miami. In Italy, it is Miami. In Russia, it is Angorskarich, Miami. I mean, it is Miami throughout the world. In Latin, it is, well, there it might be Ergum Tectum, Miami, but it is Miami. Well, apparently, in some hick town, I don't know if it's Oklahoma, Arkansas, or somewhere, you can probably just look it up, just type Google. Their name is Miami, but they say, oh, no, it's Miami. Miami. Where is the U and where is the H? Miami. What the hell? And don't give me the crack of potato. No. Oh, Sci-Fi Pulse does say in other parts of Florida, Miami translates to, oh, crap, we're going to get shot. There may be some truth to that, especially to the tourists. And speaking of tourists, we have our first soul that walks in. And I think I know who it is. Of course, we have him in the chat room. And I could play this one for him because apparently Ian doesn't want this. So even though this isn't his song, this is one for the couch potato. Oh, yeah. His name is a couch potato. That's right. Uh-huh. His palatial estate. Yep, he flies around the world. The jet setter that he is. And he is, of course, the couch potato, ladies and gentlemen. What's up?
Go ahead, caller.
It's
not the couch potato, dude.
Oh, you're full of crap. Good morning, Ian. You know what? You got me on that one because the minute I saw couch potato come in, then I saw the Skype call, I said, oh, it's got to be Sunny. But no, this is our glorious compatriot from across the pond. Yeah, couch, I know. It's not me on the line, or it's not you on the line. Oh, God. Ian, what's up? Are we getting ready for the Olympics?
Yeah, got a little story for you, actually. This is actually published in the Daily Mail today, in fact. You know, basically, £1 million Olympic golden girl Jessica Ennis is the first female athlete to earn huge sums from lucrative sponsorship deals. Whether she wins an Olympic medal or not, it seems Jessica Ennis is on track. You know, is actually on track. Has actually struck gold, sorry. The 26-year-old athlete is on course to earn a staggering $1 million from lucrative sponsorship deals this year, making her the first female athlete to do so. As favourite to take gold in the women's heptathlon, she secured around twice as many of these deals as most of her rivals. So there you go. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Jessica Ennis, Raj.
No, it's Scorekeeper. But anyway, yeah. Ian, tell me, do you have pictures of her? I'd love to leer. I mean, it's all free.
I'm not sure if you'd be able to read this on, you know, but this is the website that I've gone to. There's a few pictures of her in there. She's very toned, very fit, and, you know, not.
Oh,
not,
my
not,
God.
Not
Shut up. Shut up, Ian. Oh, my God. That's her?
That's her, yeah.
And she drives an Aston Martin? Oh, Jaguar, sorry. It's close enough. Wow, she's... Okay, her face is okay, whatever. But, wow, she's got a body on her, dude.
She's incredibly fit. She's actually the world champion, heptathlete. She had a few losses last year, but she's very much the favorite to kick butt this year. Every time she's on, you know, I just got to admire how good she actually is at these sports. She's a fantastic hurdler. She's actually a good enough hurdler to actually compete in the individual event.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, you know, I know I'm very sexist and when I really go off about this, but I do admire the athletes. I do watch quite a few of the sports. I actually had heard about her, Ian, but I didn't know anything else because I was checking out the grids and stuff, the names of the competitors and everything, so I had read it. And I did know a little bit about her being one of the better athletes. But, wow, I mean, seeing this picture of her right here, yeah, couch potato. She looks like she could kick some arse. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be ass with two arms. I mean,
Yeah. She has secured major sponsorships deals with Adidas, BP, Aviva, Olay, Omega, British Airways, Jaguar, and Powerade. Most team Great British athletes have found around half as many contracts. Well, wow. But when such backing comes, responsibility, and at training this week, she dutifully ensured she was head to toe in Adidas, from her trainers to her tracksuit. Wow. But she drives a Jaguar, which was donated by the firm Jaguar? Oh, my God. Ian, our advertisers don't need to pay us. They can just donate their materials, huh?
No, they need to pay us, dude.
Okay, yeah, well, that too. Want to welcome all the guests in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. And, here we go. I don't know if you caught this, Ian, in the mail online. This is pretty big. I mean, there are some hotties that are going to be at the Olympic Games. I got to tell you, and they're all the ripe age of 13 on up. I know I said it. But, hey, you got competitors all the way. But, look. I'm only kidding about that, people, before I really get, you know, I'm talking about competitors. But as far as them being legal, oh, my God, you've got Hope Solo, which I still say translates perfectly to Spanish, and then you have Heather Mitt, I believe she's from the United Kingdom, oh, my God, and then, of course, you have the Bikini Stars, British beach volleyball players, Sauna Mullen and Zara Dampney, and of course you have Andrea Garcia Gonzalo. Oh my God, her bikini just disappears. You know, but the point is, oh wow, you've got the synchronized swimmers, and what are they doing to relax? On the beach in bikinis. God, she has Anya Tarsiuk and Olivia Federici. Wow, these girls are just, oh my God. These girls are beautiful. Okay, now they're getting the pictures of guys. Sorry, don't care. Anyway,
yeah,
the article talks about the Olympics. As a record 150,000 condoms are handed out to a host of super attractive athletes, could London 2012 be the raunchiest games ever? Athletes will receive 15 condoms each for the 17-day festival. I've seen athletes having sex out in the open, getting down and dirty on grass between buildings, says U.S. women's goalie.
Victoria Pendleton among the glamorous female stars that are offered condoms. Wow! We missed out, Ian, again.
Yeah, that means you know, you got the female athletes and you got the male athletes, and they're getting, what, 15 condoms each? So that means that means like after the win, they can like do up to about 30 times in one night.
That was good. Maybe they're going to hand them only 17 for the first day. I don't know.
Well, they've got to pace themselves, Raj. They've got to pace themselves. You know, if they do 30 times right away, they're just going to burn out.
Yeah. And the reason why it's a 17-day event, and on average they're going to be at least competing twice, so that's why they only give them 15, because supposedly, you know, soccer players believe this, that you're not supposed to have the horizontal mambo prior to the event. Otherwise, you generally suck. Well, if you were sucking, you generally will suck. So that's how the logic goes, that you're not supposed to have any prior to the big events.
Yeah, you're supposed to have it all after the event, you know. But, you know, when I was actually competing, not that I ever competed at that standard, but when I was actually competing, night before an event, it was fine. I thought, fuck this, I'm going to have some fun.
Oh, wow. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, Ian, do you have any other additional news for the Olympics?
Well, I just saw I put a link in the chat room there.
Okay,
Ian, very quickly,
please do that. I need about a minute. I need to get my cup of joe, dude. So why don't you go ahead and continue cover for me, please, on the Olympics, and I'll be right back.
Okay, well, this is going to be really boring. Because I basically put, you know, in athletics, which is the male's guide to all the events at the Showpiece Stadium, which is in Stratford. And it says here, it is the centerpiece of the Olympic Games, the stage for the open and closing ceremonies, as well as 2,000 competitors taking part from 47 different events. From the main event, the men's 100-meter final, to the closing stages of the 50 kilometers, the Olympic Stadium will be a hive of activity throughout the second week of the Games, showcasing your main strands of competition, track, field, combined, and road events. So what can you see? There's a throwing, shot put, hammer, discus, javelin, plenty of running and walking, 100 metres, 200 metres, 400 metres, 800 metres, 1500 metres, 5,000 metres, 10,000 metres, 4x100 metres, 4x400 metres, marathon, some jumping, high jump, long triple jump, even combinations of the last two, 110 metre hurdles, 400 metre hurdles, 3,000 metre steeplechase, and then a little bit of everything in the decathlon and heptathlon. Can I breathe now?
Yes, I do. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations to Ian. This man has done so many things, and whether you know it or not, this was Ian's sporting debut. Think about it. I walked out, and he was running Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks, on Saturday. Ian, congratulations. This is the excuse me. Oh, geez, I'm coughing so much. I apologize. This man is the news reporting extraordinaire, but he's never actually taken a sports program all on his own. And I remember for the years that I've known Ian says, hell no, I'm not doing sports. Hell no.
I'm not doing sports, dude. I'm doing athletics. That's not sports. Athletics is culture.
Oh, okay. All right. I just got stabbed about 3 times on that last comment, but fair enough. Athletics is culture. I like it. I'm gonna have to write that one down because I think that one just made the Olympic. Well, actually, our annual program. But I'm gonna put a link in that chat room, ladies and gentlemen. This is so you can just admire the pictures of the beautiful women, and if you want to see the men too, tough. You got to be in the chat room. But look at these beautiful women, dude.
Are you interested in the science of the of some of the sports? We've got a nice scientific little description of the pole vault here.
Oh, sure. By all means. I'm looking at the women. And then you're talking about the pole vault? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, the pole vault is going to start on Saturday, August 4th, and it's going to go through to Friday, August the 10th. It's going to be held in the Olympic Stadium. You know, this there's two medal events. The athletes are to be confirmed. And basically, the poll vote, athletes use a flexible poll to vote a crossbar, which is raised after each round. Competitors are eliminated after three consecutive failures. Now, the men's world record for this was by the Ukrainian Sergei Bubka, and he set it in 1994, and the world record is 6 metres and 14 centimetres. So that's literally pole vaulting over, you know, and probably a double-decker bus and then some. The women's world record, which is held by Yelena Isieva from Russia, and I can't say the name, and it was done in Zurich back in 2009, is 5 metres and 6 centimetres. Sergei Bubka was the first person to break the 6 metres, which equates to 19 feet over the 19 foot barrier, and he broke the world record 35 times. He won the gold medal at the 1988 Seoul Olympics. So there you go, a little bit of a history on the pole vault there.
I appreciate it, Ian. That was good stuff. I actually never even, I never actually even gave that some thought. And when you mentioned the double-decker bus, I was like, wow, I've been on those. I was actually able to relate that to a real-life experience. Wow, that's pretty high up there, Ian. Wow.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great event to watch, you know, especially when Bubka was doing it. Oh, damn, you know, I'm looking at these hobbies.
Ooh. Yeah, and, you know, guys, all kidding aside, as you know, we could just tear it up on the jokes in the pole ball team, but now I'm with Ian on this one, is that...
Oh, my pole is one and truly bolting.
Yeah, guys, I mean, I'm telling you, we could commit bloody murder on this one, but it is really exciting to watch those, both the male and the females, when they're able to get up in the air and they just slide over the vault, or, you know, like little cats, huh, Ian? I mean, the moves that they pull, it is just incredible, mm-hmm. quite frankly. But, of course, I like to see the female version much more than the male. It's just no good. But anyway, it's all good in the hood. I know that the athletics are going to be really good. I'm going to be meeting with a lot of the other co-hosts, both associated with and related to NDB Media. Yeah, this is a Kentucky family. Or West by God, Virginia family. As we established, it is a polygamous marriage. We're looking to do some Olympic coverage starting this Friday. We may be covering the opening games live. I don't know exactly the time. I will probably have to be leaving my employment early to do so. But
Roger, if you want, I can actually give you roughly an idea what time the opening ceremony will be.
Yes, I noticed you did print that up in the chat room. Please do so, because, my God, Ian, that article, the Mail Online, all they got is beautiful babes, article after article.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't normally read the Mail, because the Mail is actually conservative paper, and, you know, I'm not a Tory.
This is conservative?
Yeah, it's a conservative newspaper.
I mean, all the articles to the right under Female Today, Suri Cruz, Mickey Rourke, Anne Hathaway, Kim Kardashian, Jennifer Garner, I mean, look, Christina Milian, and they're all bikinis. This is conservative?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm talking about conservative when it comes to a... You know, they're not conservative when it comes to sort of like half naked and naked women. They're conservative in the other ways, dude. As in, screwing people out of unemployment, you know, cutting people's pay, lowering taxes for the rich people and hiring the taxes for the lower downs, you know, that sort of conservative. You know, basically complete and utter bastards.
Wow. I mean, yeah, by all means, please, Ian, go ahead, because I just clicked on Jessica Gomes, like the hottest swimsuit model, world's hottest swimsuit model. And I'm wow, thank you, Ian. I love you, dude. Thank you for sending me to this website. Oh, don't tell me my computer froze. Oh, God, no. Okay, there it is. It's back. Wow. Okay, go ahead, Ian.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at the beach volleyball. I'm definitely watching the beach volleyball, dude. That's got to be done.
Oh, hell yeah. I think we're all going to be watching the beach volleyball, and we're all going to be clamoring to comment about it. I got to copy and paste this article. I got to share the love with the boys in the chat room. I mean, it's only proper of me. If I'm going to drool at this time that they're listening to me, I think it's only fair.
Okay, well, I'm going to go over another few events now. This is the event that I always hang into the Olympic Games for. It's these events that I go for, and that is a sprint event. We've got the 100 metres, which is run along the home straight, the 200 metres, which has a staggered start on a bend, and the 400 metres, which has a longer staggered start on a bend, with athletes running a full circuit of the track. And trust me, Raj, you know, 400 metres, if you try to sprint it outright, you're going to kill yourself, especially if you're not training for it. I remember
400 metres, my God, Ian, that's like a quarter of a mile, right?
Yeah, that used to be my event, the 400 metres. You know, when I was actually doing athletics, I was a 200 and 400 metre runner. You know?
Wow.
But I still remember to this day the very, very first 400 metres I ever did, you know, before I'd even trained up for it. And I remember, you know, I probably got to around about 250 metres and I just died.
Wow.
But, you know, the competition format, you know, qualified athletes begin by running heats where top finishers go through plus a set number of fastest losers. Seedings are based on previous performances to determine which heat athletes run to ensure the fastest are kept apart until the last stages. Also, if you're fastest loser, invariably you're going to get drawn in two outside lanes, which is on lane 7 and 8. Which are just, you know, totally crap to run into. You don't want to draw those names, you know, especially on the stagger, because, you know, if you draw lane eight on the stagger, everyone's chasing you. You can't see anyone, so you're using your best on like drawing one of the middle lanes, you know, if you're doing the sprint events, especially in 200 and 400 meters where you've got that stagger, you know, so. There you go. There's a bit of sporting tips for you.
I do appreciate that. Again, man, Ian's really come to play. Maybe he can check when opening ceremonies are, and maybe I'll be able to get this going in a moment. We have our compatriot on with us, but I want to do his intro because I haven't done it. I haven't done it in a while.
Get a magazine and see if we can find the opening ceremony time for you, dude.
Yeah, I know you will because you are the man. I can't do the intro. Come on in, Couch Potato. You the man and all, blah, 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 blah.
It's okay. Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Hey, just to let you know, I woke up at 8:15. I looked over at my clock, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm late. It's Saturday morning, and Lord knows I'm not, like, late, really. But I got up, and the first thing I did, of course, is make the coffee, and then I'm sitting here with Sports Talk with the guys. So I just wanted to spread the love that, yes, when I wake up on Saturday morning, the first thing I think about is Roger and the show. So that's why I made it in. How are you doing this morning, Rog?
I'm doing very well, Couch Potato. And as much as there was quite a bit of love, genuine love in that last sentence, I just need to clarify something. Do you think of Roger as Roger or Roger as like this inanimate object or Roger as associated to Sports Talk with the Guys? I mean, this is kind of important to me.
Sports Talk with the Guys, of course, yes. And
oh, okay.
Roger is the guy, so yes. So you get a combo.
I was just curious. I thought I should clarify that because, you know, makes a great point of attack
thing,
in the morning.
On a Saturday morning, it's the first thing I think about. You know, I got to get over there, got to get there, listen to the show. And I darn near actually made Matt Alvarez's show yesterday, but I forgot about the time. And I thought I had an hour and 15 minutes with Matt yesterday, and I only had 15 minutes. So now I know exactly when he's going to be on here in our time. and I'm going to try to make it to the show live like I did, you know, only for 15 minutes yesterday, but a little bit longer. So
yeah, he actually starts in the afternoon for you at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I know, and for some reason I thought he started an hour later. So when I walked in from doing my work, I was like, oh, I want to get a Matt show. And then sure enough, only 15 minutes. But, you know, hey, at least we made it over there for the 15 and enjoyed his show at the end of it anyway. So I got to listen to the first part. But take away from
and
that.
And as a matter of fact, since we're actually doing that right now, I want to give some play on this very same channel, Matt Alvarez, the aforementioned individual. Matt Alvarez has been on NDB Media. He was actually the first compatriot that joined us here on NDB Media. He's been on the air for over a year and a half, going on 2 years now, and he has only missed two Saturdays when he goes on vacation. You know, Matt always has his family vacation, and he's got to go with them because, you know, when the family goes on that family trip, you know, all the kids have to go along. So.
Of course.
And I know Matt's here, and that's why he's not here, but that's why I'm picking on him. But
plenty of room in the back seat for him. So.
Yeah, well, you know, remember the old station wagons that had those other seats in the way back?
Mm-hmm.
That's where Matt is.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's one of the younger kids in the family, so he's got to be way in the back. So it's all good. His theme might be Barney, but my God, I don't have the balls to do what's his face did. What was it, Tim McLeod? Remember he called in to play Barney in the background?
Love that.
Oh my God, that was incredible. But anyway, that is Matt Alvarez. And of course, the Couch Potato has his own super huge program right here on NDB Media. And that is, of course, blogtalkradio.com, the-couch-potato. Check it out. And of course, he is also hosting a program here on this very same channel, The Fantasy Extra. It's on at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time on Mondays and Fridays with the glorious Andrea Soxfan, otherwise known as Andrea Lamont. He's the hardest working guy. She's fantasy royalty. So what does that make, Couch Potato?
Royalty on Monday and Friday.
Yes, it is indeed, and it's a lot of fun listening to them, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, our compatriot who's been with me since the morning, as we basically cross the first hour, is Ian, Sci-Fi Pulse Ian. He has also joined the family. He hosts several programs on this network, and obviously he's now hosting Sports Talk with the Guys. So, Ian, tell us a little bit about the media empire that you are with.
I just run a little channel on here called Sci-Fi Pulse, which is a kind of like part of NDB Media, and it's doing pretty good. We got Austin Basis on the Monday show, which will be on at around about 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Austin Basis is going to be a regular cast member in the new CW series Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, Ian. How many listeners in the month of July so far, you rat bastard?
Well, as of last Monday, we hit something like a little over 16,000. As of last night, you know, the numbers are still coming in for the show last night, but it was on around about 5,600 or something. So
in other words,
gonna...
Sci-Fi Pulse in the month of July has already had 20,000 downloads. So part of the NDB Media family, when we add up all of our numbers, we're at 20,400. No, actually, I'm screwing around. But there's no doubt that Ian's program is doing very, very well. We really have a genuine outside chance of getting 30,000, if not close to 35,000 when we combine the numbers. Ian, welcome back to Blog Talk Radio. His program is a monster. It is Sci-Fi Ian, right? No, I'm sorry, Sci-Fi Pulse. Sci-Fi Pulse here on Blog Talk Radio. He has joined the NDB Media family, and it is huge.
It's crazy huge. You know, I never expected, I never for the world expected that we'd get over 1,000 downloads.
Okay.
4 or 5 shows on a bounce. I just never expected that.
But now you know why I've been begging you for a year and a half to come back, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. We're proud of those numbers, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, Ian does a great job. But anyway, he's on 3:30 p.m. Pacific time on Monday. And he does have other guests as well that come on from time to time. He did a program yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. It's already at 5,600 downloads. His programs are good, and we're happy to have him in the family. And it's great when he calls in on Sports Talk with the guys. Because we're hoping to do some Olympic coverage. There are a lot of people that are interested. And if you guys want in, by gosh, Bigora, come on, guys. Top of the morning to you and all that other stuff. You know, we're going to be doing some coverage, and we're going to be getting serious on this on Sunday and Monday as far as the team to see what we can do. Yes, sir.
Well, I've got a quick write-up of the opening ceremony if you're interested.
Please, by all means, shoot up. I mean, yes, let's have it.
This is from our TV Choice magazine, and basically it starts at 9 p.m. UK time, which is roughly around about, I'd say, probably 4 p.m. Eastern Standard and more or less 1 p.m. Pacific Standard time. I'm not sure of the time difference.
It's 8 hours for us, 6 hours for Sunny.
Yeah, so, you know, it's but basically this is what it says in the magazine here. It says, the countdown is over. Now the ceremony begins with a show produced by Trainspotting and Slumdog Millionaire director Danny Boyle. The chime of the largest harmonically tuned bell in Europe is the cue for the cast of 10,000 volunteers to take the stage in a pageant about a land recovering from its industrial legacy. It promises country scenes with families taking picnics, farmers tilling the soil, and people playing sports on the village green, on a set featuring real farmyard animals and landmarks like Glastonbury, Tor. But further details are being kept strictly under wraps. The panorama also includes two mosh pits representing the Glastonbury Festival and the last night of the proms, while the music, if recent reports are to be believed, is an eclectic selection ranging from the Beatles to the Monty Python theme tune. The performance is followed by the athletes' parade, in which more than 200 countries are represented. Then the Queen will carry out the official opening before the big finale, when the Olympic flame enters the stadium and the identity of the final torchbearer, who has the honour of lighting the cauldron that will burn for the next 16 days of competition, is revealed. Also, what they haven't mentioned there is that Danny Boyle has actually directed a special James Bond thing, which ends with 007 parachuting into the stadium.
What?
Did you say
007 perishing? Is that perishing or parachuting?
Parachuting into the
stadium.
Oh,
okay. I was going to say no one kills 007.
They've done a little movie shot where Bond has to save the Olympics or something, and it's kind of like a little movie, but, you know, I believe from what I've been hearing that actually ends on a bit of a live, you know, spectacular scene where Daniel Craig actually parachutes into the stadium.
Got it.
Now, it's interesting, before you mentioned Daniel Craig, it was kind of cool because Pierce Brosnan is also involved in the opening ceremonies. And I was wondering, I said, did they actually go back to him? That would have been like a coup. But yes, Daniel Craig is the current James Bond. And as I understand, he is very successful. Well, his movies have been incredibly successful. But that's going to be neat, guys. We're going to be checking it out. That's going to be the opening ceremonies. Couch Potato, what was I going to ask you? Are you a James Bond fan?
Oh, yeah. I actually watched The Solace last night before I went to bed. Thursday. It was Thursday night they had like a two or three of them, and I watched two of them and recorded the other ones on the DVR. So it was on Sci-Fi,
yeah.
Actually. So I watched that.
I've got them all on DVD and Blu-ray.
So, yeah, Me, myself, I kind of like Roger Moore doing it. I like him better than Sean Connery. But Pierce Brosnan was the right pick, and when they were trying to get him signed on because of contract issues, I thought as soon as that happens, that's going to be huge. And it turned out to be a pretty good layout for him to be James Bond. I thought it was awesome. So
I personally think the first time that they were trying to sign up Brosnan, he was still doing Remington Steele, and I think at that point he probably would have been a little bit too young to play it.
Yep.
So I think it actually worked out for the best that they didn't sign him up to me with a little bit older, and because I think when he did take it, he actually ran with it, and he was actually more convincing as Bond than perhaps he would have been back when they went after him the first time.
That's a very valid point, especially James Bond. I think James Bond's got to be dapper, not young, So, yeah, a little bit. It was like 6 years it took for him to get signed up and actually get going for Bond, which was kind of interesting, the whole story behind that and things. But I always thought he was going to be the best one. And so far he has. Now, I like the new dude, the Daniel Craig guy. I like him. But you know what? I like Timothy Dalton. But then again, I like all of these James Bond movies. So I like even the one that they brought back Sean Connery for, that when he was like ancient. I thought that one was pretty good too.
Never Say Never Again.
Yep, Never Say Never Again.
The only reason I watched that was because of Irene Carrera. Is that her name, Irene Carrera?
Yes, I think
that's
her name.
Oh, man, she was hot.
And ladies and gentlemen, this qualifies. This is a man's program. We're talking about women, so cut it out. We'll get back to sports in a moment. It's all related to the Olympics.
Irene Carrera really got my pole vaulting in bloody hell.
Well done, Ian. You owe me big time for that setup, baby.
That was a setup. That was good. I like that. That was beautiful.
It was great, ladies and gentlemen. And I admit, I'm a James Bond fan, too, but I'm a Pierce Brosnan fan. I've seen almost every James Bond movie, but when Pierce Brosnan was chosen to be, and I agree with you, Ian, on what you said about maybe have been too young and stuff.
Yep.
It's funny how things work out. I enjoyed all four of his movies. And I was very disappointed that he could not make the fifth movie. When you are only $3 million apart in negotiations, come on, people.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, especially, how about this, maybe even on Pierce Brosnan's side. I mean, I know you're in demand or anything, but you're talking about an institution that is James Bond. I mean, so you would have eventually got that $3 million back in other ways. So, yeah, I think that was a mistake. But, that's just because I'm selfish and I wanted to see him in one more, because I did think four was really quite short. I think Roger Moore had like eight, didn't he, or something? I think he had like eight.
I think he did seven.
Seven, yeah. He's the one that has the most, but I always like Roger Moore, too.
Well, guys, let's figure this out real quick. There were 20 movies. I'm not counting the two newest ones. Pierce Brosnan did four. Owensby did one. Timothy Dalton did what, two or three?
He did two, I think.
Okay, he did two. So that's a total of seven. That means there's 13 left over. So who did what? There's 13 left over, Moore and Connery.
Yeah, I thought Moore did more than Connery.
There it is.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, if I'm thinking right, so yeah.
Yeah, Connery, did one less than Moore, because you don't count Never Say Never Again, because Never Say Never Again was never actually an official Bond movie. It wasn't made by Eon Productions and company Ian Brockney.
There was a huge lawsuit on that one as well, too.
I don't know if it's even been resolved yet.
You might be right on that, scorekeeper.
Because there's still some issues about these studios wanting to make another James Bond movie, but I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. We'll cover that on Tuesday night, because there's a lot of history on that, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of a lot of history, there he is, Matt Alvarez. Ladies and gentlemen, the host of our 1 p.m. program here on this channel on Fridays, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show. We're glad to have him on with us. And, well, Almighty Sports Show. Yep. He does a program with us from time to time. Dude.
Yep. I actually miss him. What happened? It's Sullivan,
I miss
if I'm
him
not
too.
His last name is Sullivan, if I'm
online.
Not mistaken.
Hold on. Hey, ass. I missed my ass.
That's because you sat on it, dude.
Well, no, think about it, guys. Look, Almighty Sports Show. He himself said it. That's
yes.
why he chose the name Almighty Sports Show, ASS.
Yes.
So I told him, I can't wait till he's... Okay, Ian just got it. I can't wait till he gets to episode 69, ASS 69.
Gotcha.
I said, you got to come on over to NDB Media.
Yeah, you know, you can just go ask. He's going to do a World of Sports special.
All right, dude. I mean, what more love do you want than that, dude? All three hosts are blowing love right now, man. He's in the chat room. He's laughing it up. It's all good. Yeah, I do. I miss him, too. But, hey, you know what? The man is the man. And ass knows I want my ass. Oh, my God. I can't believe I said that shit.
Yeah, you. Hey, I'm just... Did you know, just to let you know, the 007, I just happened to be looking this up, 50 years, guys,
mm-hmm.
of movie making. 50 years. Yep. Of James Bond since the first one was released, and the next one actually I guess there's another one that's being released here in 96 days, 9 hours, 48 minutes, and 24 seconds.
James Bond Skyfall, and Q's going to be in it. They're going to have Q come back to it, but he's a young guy, and he looks like a wet behind the ears, burning out school teenage computer geek with glasses. So I'm not sure how that's going to work.
That's going to be interesting from going from the first one to the latest one. I love seeing the difference in the special effects and stuff like that. Oh, Halle Berry. Yowza.
Ouch.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Hey, I didn't
have
a little bit of news.
She's definitely got my job. I'm going to travel in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just very quickly, I think we had a change in program. Tanya Mercado, who does Raise Your Glass, had to move her program to today, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I'll have to see. But, yeah, I think it was rescheduled for today, ladies and gentlemen. So, and, of course, the scorekeeper is riding shotgun on a production. Maggie Reese's Runaway Mind will be on today at 6 p.m. Pacific time. I'm going to have to be riding shotgun on that one as well. Cliff is not feeling well. The big dog is not feeling well, as evidenced by him not being here today.
Yeah.
I was speaking to the big dog late last night, and he was going to be staying up late prepping for today. And I don't know. I have no word from the big dog either way. So
he's probably sleeping.
And I think it's a good thing. And just right now, he called in to check on the big dog. I know he did. Ladies and gentlemen, this is international right now. I'm here in Southern California. The couch potato is over in the great Empire State of Texas. Ian is in the United Kingdom. And now we have the man from the land down under. How are you, AJ?
Hi, all good. How's Big Dog?
You know, I spoke to him yesterday. Yeah, you know, let's cut to the chase.
That's right.
No, I know. I hear you. It's funny that I started talking about him just a moment before you called in. AJ, I don't know how he's doing this morning. I spoke to him last night. And he seemed pretty up. I think he was a little hurt that my wife was against him coming over today. But, you know, she said it's still too early. You got to take care of yourself. So I don't know. He hasn't called in, so I got to believe that Peter's just not doing well this morning. He has good days and he has bad days.
Okay, fair enough. I'll send him a message on Facebook. I don't use that thing too often anymore. So that's why it's easy to call you and talk to him personally. But, yeah, I'll send him a message, see how he's going. The only sporting news I want to give is my team, the Bulldogs. We're on top of the comp, first time in a while. So we look like we're going deep into the finals this year.
What's the record now, AJ? Where are you guys at?
I just look at the table and we're on top. That's all that matters. I think we've lost five games.
You're right.
Yeah, I think we've lost five games.
It's true, right? Who gives a damn? When you're the top dog, who cares, right?
That's right.
That's all. Every time I look at the table, I look where my team is, and I look where the team I hate is. And as long as I'm on top of that one, I don't give a shit.
It's true, Ian, when you're on top. Because I think Ian heard it this morning when I started out, when I said, okay, let's see, where's... Oh, there they are, the Yankees. Best team in baseball again. Who cares?
How shocking is it to read, well, not shocking, but good, I guess, that Pittsburgh's up the top of their, what do you call it, their conference, their region, I don't know, their division?
Their division. Pittsburgh is doing very well. As a matter of fact, AJ, they're only half a game out of their division. I mean, this is great. We're coming near the end of July, and Pittsburgh's in it, huh, Couch Potato?
Yeah, they are. They're right in it to the little bit, which I'm really surprised how well they have been playing and keeping it up, which is the huge thing.
Yeah,
that's the big part, the consistency of them. It's good to have a hot and cold spurt, but they've been pretty consistent from the scratch. And I've heard somewhere that this is the first time they've been above 500 since 92. That's almost like a goat's curse, really, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, they had 18 consecutive years of losing seasons. Now, I may be wrong. It might even be 19 consecutive years, but I think they set the modern record for losing seasons. And a losing season is anything less than 500.
Yeah. So the Cubs are going to be close. Actually, I think they made the playoffs 10 years ago or something, didn't they?
Yeah, but, you know, they're just a few players away from being competitive. And I just don't know what it is with the Cubs. I didn't think this was their year, but they've got some kids that are on that team. And even 2-3 years down the road, if they get it right, I think the Cubs are going to be dangerous for a while.
Yeah, we've just got maybe two players, too many, worth way too much money that we can't get rid of. That's what I think our problem is. But it's the same conversation every year. How's every other sport going? Basketball's not playing, and football, how long will that stupid game start? A while or what?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we go to the couch potato on that football, and Ian, this is not, you know, universal football. This is American football.
Is that the game where the bear is running around, throwing
formation? Okay. AJ, what did you say? What's the difference between American football and rugby?
Men play rugby league. Girls that wear pads and helmets play your football.
That's right.
And then complete out gay people and females, they play soccer. They're even less feminine than NFL players.
Wow. All right. Well, I still like Hope Solo. She's all good. But anyway, Couch Potato, training camps are opening up in July, right?
Yeah, they're going to be opening up here within a week. Most teams are going to be in training camp within 7 days. So, keep your eyes open for that, because that's, we work through the off season. Now it's time to get down and dirty and figure out who's going to be on a team, who's going to sign, who's going to be in the positions, and it's going to be really good stuff. And we'll be talking about that on the Couch Potato Sports Show here in about 45 minutes. We're going to hop in there. We're going to be talking a little bit about the NFL and some of the training camps that will be coming our way.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, we know in August we're already going to get the preseason games, and in September the season starts. Basketball starts in November, and I believe hockey, I'm not sure
October.
When hockey starts.
October,
okay. So there is a lot of stuff, and of course baseball winds down in late September, and then you got the playoffs in October. So you've got really many, many of the other leagues about to get going in a few weeks there, AJ.
Fair enough. That's good. Less than a week to the Olympics, and that's pretty much all I'm looking forward to. And when they're finished, then our football season wraps up with the finals.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, AJ, following up on what you asked me for several times now, we're going to have a meeting on Sunday, and I'm going to be sending out invites to anyone who wants to be involved in the Olympic coverage. And I think with all the channels we have, I think we're going to be able to pull off some really nice stuff. You're invited to join us for the opening day coverage. I guess it's going to be 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. UK time. And who knows? This might be the team right here that's covering it, right here, all four of us.
Okay, well,
what
time
is the
meeting? It's on Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday.
The 27th at, or no, is it the 28th, Ian?
That's the 27th. I'll just double-check for you, just to make sure.
Yeah,
it's Friday the 27th. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, it's Friday, 9 p.m. UK time, 1 p.m. Pacific time. So if it's 18 hours, I think that's Saturday morning for you, right?
Yeah, 6 in the morning. I'll be there about half an hour late.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah. Then there it is. Yeah. I think we're going to be doing something on Friday, no doubt about it. We may ask the Couch Potato to use his channel, and we'll probably do 4 hours of programming that day. We'll see.
That sounds good, man. Sounds very good.
Yeah, well,
yeah, we got with our pay TV or cable, as you like to call it. We got 8 channels, and I think 2 free-to-air channels as well. So we're going to have a lot of coverage.
Yeah, we're going to have the BBC covering the whole lot of it. So you know, I'll be watching pretty much as much of it as I can. My main areas of interest are going to be track and field athletics because that's pretty much my sport. I know that sport.
Ladies and gentlemen. We have, who knows, we may use Sci-Fi Pulse as well, only to get the live recordings and then we'll move them off. But we have access, what, Couch Potato? We can put on 6, 9, we can put on 11 hours of coverage daily, huh, my friend?
Awesome.
Yeah, if we set it up that way, it could work out that way. I got 3 hours that you guys can use. I'll obviously be at the meeting to help you guys. I don't know how much coverage of the Olympics I'm going to personally get into, but at the same time, 3 hours, you guys are welcome to it.
Well, we're going to see what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be covering the Olympics, but we also have scheduled programs, so we're going to be working around them too. But the sports channels will be available, and we're going to see what we're going to do. So the calendar will probably be up on Monday. And we'll be talking about it this weekend. So there's a lot of stuff, the Olympics. All kidding aside, I can't wait for the beach volleyball and the Australian swimmers. Oh, my God, they're beautiful, AJ.
I dig the female volleyball from the Middle Eastern or the Soviet bloc countries. They all seem to be the best-looking women playing volleyball. Not your beach stuff,
yeah.
The indoor stuff, but yeah, some of those Russian ladies are fantastic.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, the Brazilian babes aren't too bad either.
Oh, yeah. You can watch Brazil play beach volleyball all day. Even there's a couple of good-looking Aussie chicks playing this year, I think. They got rid of the dominant ones that won a couple of gold medals, but now they got 2 other chicks, and these ones look good. The other ones were good players, but these ones look good, and they play all right, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is genuine male sports analysis here on Sports Talk with the Guys. Home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yeah, I tell you, doesn't get much better than that.
Right,
yeah,
so I'm going to cut out and I'm going to go back to work. So I'll say toodaloo to all of you, and I'll catch you pretty much for the Olympics. For the Olympics. Take it easy, boys, and big shout-out to Pete and Zeke if he's listening. And,
actually, not at the moment, but Ian, go ahead. You wanted to ask something?
Yeah, I was going to ask you what time you're planning to have this meeting tomorrow.
Well, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out email invites and see who can make it, and we'll see what we'll do. I know it's going to be happening, probably by email, and then we'll just start setting it up after that. We'll see what's going to happen. All right, guys?
Okay.
Definitely. We can do a conference call do a private show on Blog Talk Radio. Everybody knows the numbers. We can do a private get-together and do it that way, too, so where everybody's on the line, too.
Yeah, that's right. We will probably be able to do it that way. So we'll see. We will arrange something, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to cover it. We're inviting all of our hosts to be in on it. Of course, Ash in the chat room, Matt Alvarez, and everyone who's part of it. I think that's going to be a big deal. Olympics, man. Doesn't get much better than this.
Yeah.
All right, James, I'll see you later. If Tim's around, good day to him as well, and I'll talk to you soon. I'll look for the email when I've finished work. See you later, boys.
All right. Thanks,
bye-bye.
AJ.
Have a good one, AJ.
Got to quickly ask you, Rog. You know, you're in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
Do you actually remember the 84 Olympics?
Yes, I do. Vividly. I sure do. I was 15.
Yeah, I was 14.
Yeah, you were 14. Yeah, you were a little baby.
But yeah, I remember watching, you know, the 84 Olympics was kind of like my first, you know, it was the first one where I really started taking notice of the sport as general. And you know, I remember being in all over the newspapers because Danny Thompson, who won the decathlon, had the audacity to whistle the national anthem when he won his medal. I thought that was so cool. Danny Thompson pokes one in the eye of the establishment. Only he could do that.
You're right. I do remember that one. We were, for years, they were talking about, Matt, sorry. I'm going to email everyone to see what time they're available. Maybe in the evening, maybe in the morning. I don't know. But I want to see who wants to be in first, and maybe we can all just come to a good time. It may even be on Monday, guys, when we all get together. I don't know. But I'm going to email everyone first to see if they're interested. So just bear with me on that. Okay, who did we lose? We lost the couch potato. But
no,
okay.
I'm just switching browsers. That's all.
Yeah, I noticed. That's why we lost couch potato. But anyway, going back to shit. What the hell were we talking about?
I think we're talking about your memories of the 84 Olympics.
Thank you. Obviously, I have no memories because I keep forgetting. Thank you, Ian. Wow. For months, everyone was talking about the incredible, horrible traffic that was going to happen, and I wish I would have taken a picture of it. It would have been a $1 million picture today. When the Olympics opening ceremony began, I was able to look out on my street, Ferguson Drive. I looked to the left, and I looked to the right, and there was no car.
Wow.
And at the time where I lived, I looked over to the Mixmaster. It is a confluence of five streets that come together. Atlantic Boulevard, Telegraph Road, Triggs, Goodrich, and Ferguson. And it's a massively huge intersection. And based on where we were, there aren't any major routes that go south for like 2 miles in each direction. So it is a huge, they call it the Mixmaster. I was able to look down the street. It was about half a mile away, and there was no traffic in the Mixmaster. That is the picture I should have taken, because as the Olympic ceremony began, I walked out to the front yard, looked left, looked right, no cars. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Everyone left town, and when the ceremonies began on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, or I should say when the games, they were interviewing all the shops throughout Los Angeles. No one's here! Get down here! Everyone left town. It was incredible. That's one of my major memories, but I remember watching the games. I watched the I saw the Zola Bud moment, Ian.
Oh, yeah, Zola Bud and Mary Decastinini. Oh, wasn't that funny? That was just so funny.
Oh, my God. I remember seeing that. Couch Potato, are you familiar with that? Do you remember that?
I remember it. It's probably – but to – now that you bring it up, I remember it. But if I had to remember that off the top of my head, I wouldn't have.
That was one of the moments in the Olympics. Because remember, the Soviets boycotted that Olympics. So it was really America pretty much kicked everyone's butt that day.
Yep.
But the thing with Zola Budd, and Ian helped me out on this. Zola Budd was from South Africa, and she was a barefoot runner. And Mary Decker-Slaney was, I believe, the favorite, or at least in her eyes, she was a favorite in this event. Ian, what do you remember on that? Help me out on it.
She's actually very much the golden girl of the American team. I don't know if she was favorite. I mean, I think there was actually quite a few contenders, in that actual event. But to be honest, I pretty much felt that they were all kind of overrated, to tell the truth.
You got my comment, Ian. You know, she was the greatest. Well, more likely in her mind. But the whole thing with Zola Budd and Mary Decker-Slaney, and to this day, Mary Decker-Slaney believes that Zola Budd tripped her up deliberately. And when they were running and doing coming around a corner near the end, of course they bumped, they tangled, and it's funny. The girl with no shoes kept on running, and the girl with shoes fell.
Yep.
Kind of funny.
Drama queen. But you know, one of the shock moments of the 84 Olympics, really, was Tessa Sanderson winning the gold in the women's javelin. I mean, she actually moved up to javelin from heptathlon, and she just pulled out this one big performance that won her Olympic gold, and she didn't really do anything great of any note in the javelin after that. You know, she was always there and thereabouts, but it was pretty much on the women's side of things, in the women's javelin, you know, from after the 84 games onwards, it was Fatima Whitbread that was actually sort of like winning everything. But, you know, for me, the 84 Olympics, you know, I have to remember the, you know, Coe and Overt, you know, Sebastian Coe, Steve Overt, winning each other's events. Overt was into to run the 1500 meters, I think, and he also ran the 8. But the, you know, Coe was actually favourite to win the 800 meters, and Overt was favourite to win the 1500 meters. And this actually happened twice. It happened in the 1980 Olympics as well, whereas they won each other's respective events.
Yeah, well, the 1980 Olympics, if I'm not mistaken, were in Moscow. And the United States boycotted because in 1979 we had the invasion of Afghanistan by the Soviets. Much as things change, they always remain the same, huh, boys?
Absolutely.
Well, Afghanistan, historically speaking, is where empires go to die. Go figure. But it's a very famous line. Empires have died in Afghanistan. But anyway, guys, I think this would be really cool. Have a segment. I think I'm going to do the planning on it. I'm going to ask all the hosts for their Olympic memories. But I know you're right, Ian. She won that gold medal. And I was thinking back to the 1968 Olympics. I wasn't alive back then. But I remember an incredible amount of records were set in the 1968 Olympics. For those of you that remember. It was Mexico City. And as you know, Mexico City is pretty high up there. And a lot of people believe it was due to the fact that they were a mile up. And if I'm not mistaken, a lot of the records are still from the 68 Olympics. Right, Ian?
Quite a few of them, yeah. You know, obviously with the exception of the 400, 200, and 100 meters, and most of the track events, I think have sort of been broken since then. But I think quite a few of the jumping events, and you know, from the 68 Olympics and the throwing events, maybe.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, Ian. I mean, just give it time in the Olympics. I think most records will eventually be broken. Look, even the mile guys, I mean, every few years we get the mile that is broken, and it's just amazing to me. It's how short is it really going to be? How short is it going to be? It's just incredible. Hey,
yeah,
by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I just saw this. 43 years ago on Friday, which was yesterday, Apollo 11 astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were on the moon.
Wow.
It was yesterday. And back in 2009... we had a 40th anniversary program, and we had Lieutenant Colonel retired Richard A. Searfoss on with us. God, that was 3 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a program. I cannot believe it.
I was actually born in the same year as they put a man on the moon.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was too, Ian.
Same year.
And I'm not sure if Cat's Potato has this, but I was born a few months before Apollo 13. I'm sorry, Apollo 11. Didn't mean that. I was born a few months before Apollo 11. Let's see, April, May, June. 3 months before, almost to the day. And I was born a few weeks before Star Trek went off the air. Okay, in 1969. While my daughter, my oldest, was born a few weeks before The Next Generation went off the air, too. It's kind of cool, kind of neat.
Yeah, that was, December 31st was me.
Yeah, that's right. You were born the year that it happened.
Mm. Yeah, but, you know, you talked about the mile before, and apparently it's part of the opening ceremony. The very, very first man to run the sub-4-minute mile, Roger Bannister, is going to be actually part of the opening ceremony next week. So.
Yeah, guys, think about that. The first Matt. Yeah, I was trying. You know, Ian, thank you for making that clear, because I thought it was the four-minute mile. That's been the talk for the last 40 years, guys, the four-minute mile. When are we going to break it? And now it's been broken, and it's only a matter of time before we're talking 3 minutes, 45 seconds, right?
Dude, the four-minute mile was broken years ago.
Yeah.
It was broken back in the 50s, I think. It was Roger Bannister that did it. I think he did it in something like 3 minutes 59 or 3 minutes 48. I think the world record for the mile now is somewhere around the region of 3 minutes and 46 seconds or something that like that. I'd
exactly.
Have to look it up.
That's why I said we're talking 3:45. I mean, for the longest time we've been talking about that, and now, I mean, guys, think about it. Maybe in 20 years we're going to be talking 3:30. Could you imagine that?
And I think we're probably talking more about 2 minutes 46 about 20 years back.
Well, it's possible, because if we believe Futurama, eventually they did allow steroids to the Olympics.
Yeah,
that was before they allowed steroids into the Olympics.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll eventually have the heads of top athletes in jars.
Yes, that's right. One of the memories I have, I was way too young. I don't remember the 1972 Munich Games, but we all know why the United Kingdom has such a high level of security. It's just unbelievable. The United Kingdom, London to be exact, has been the target of terrorist incidents in the past. And some people think that the United Kingdom is a police state right now. Well, it's because they've had things happen. And we remember the 1972 Munich Games. For those of you that remember or don't remember, that's when the Palestinians killed the Israeli athletes. And the Olympic Games were never the same.
And that was also the year that you guys actually had a Steve Prefontaine running in the 3,000 meters or something. He was like the favorite to win, and he basically ran out of steam and finished in around about fourth place. But interesting fact here, Prefontaine, he was actually coached by a guy, I can't remember his first name, it's called Bauman, and Bauman was actually the creator of Nike. Because basically for all his athletes, what he used to do is he used to actually fit them and make them their running shoes to their specifications, to their foot size and everything. It's very
really?
Scientific. And basically what ended up happening is he ended up sort of like with a franchise on his hands in Nike, because someone picked up on the fact that he was actually making the shoes that his athletes were using.
Well, those of us that have done any sorts of athletics, I'm not sure if Couch Potato wears shoes when he's training his daughters doing the double back flip on the, you know, on that bar.
No. Barefoot, man, that's the only way you can walk in on those pads. You can't have your tennis shoes on.
Okay, well, there you are. When the Couch Potato does it, I'm not sure if he does any other sports, but for me, I've noticed that shoes, you know, the better the fit, you know, cleats as opposed to tennis shoes when you're playing specific sports, when you have those gaps on the shoe, it does make a difference. When the shoe just feels much more comfortable, I would expect you to do better, and I can see that. That is crazy. So
well,
Nike,
here's the deal, just to let you know, my daughter in cheerleading, I'm buying her shoes like every 4 months.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because you can't buy those things too big. In reality, because of the fact that she's growing, yeah, obviously she's a 9-year-old, but the shoes need to be snug, at least as far as competitive cheerleading is concerned, and that's what she's in. And if you get them too loose, it can affect. They can trip. They can do everything because they get used to a certain shoe being tight. And if you buy one that's too big, they trip over themselves, cost some points.
Wow. So there it is.
FYI.
And we're going to have the balance beam over there as well in the Olympics. So we're gonna see what we're going to be covering, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe we'll have your daughter doing her debut there, Mr. Clark, as a sports commentator.
Doing the Olympic? She's nine. So as far as her actually getting out there and explaining every move, she would have a hard time. Although she was my oldest daughter, who is 12 now. She was very tall for her age, and when she was on the balance beam, that was her thing of beauty in reality. She'd done all this other stuff really good, but watching her on the balance beam was just amazing, at least in my opinion. Of course, I'm biased too, so but at the same time, she was graceful. She knew exactly what she was doing, and normally the balance beam is the problem child of tall girls, and she handled it very well.
Well, Sonny, if we're going to be covering that event, you never know. We might have them on. I think that would be kind of neat.
We will see. Right now they're on vacation. I'm kidless right now, so it's been a quiet week.
Yeah, I know. That is a good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking about the Olympics. I know it's an open issue, and I think it's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of stuff that we're going to be able to go over and cover. And as a matter of fact, I'm having issues here. Oh, okay. This is funny. My computer on my desktop is telling me it's 6:45 a.m., and my on-air time says I have 23 minutes left, and my cell phone says it's 7:41 a.m. So, wow. I think my cell phone is right on, so we still have about 19 minutes. I know we still have a little bit of news to go over. I put a link in the chat room going back to the Apollo 11 landing. I think it's kind of cool. But I know that we are going to be doing some coverage starting Friday. And remember, the Olympics goes for 17 – actually, it's 18 days, right, guys? Or is it 17? Because it goes from January – I'm sorry. It goes from this Friday to – I think it's like Sunday in August. And I don't have my calendar in front of me. Okay, no, here it is. July 27th is opening. And aren't the closing ceremonies on like the – August 20th or the August 19th? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Oh, I think it's going to be August 13th, the weekend before. I think that's when the closing ceremony is. I'll have to verify that. But we will have our act together by the time we debut this stuff. So it's going to be good. Want to give us a... what's coming up next on the Couch Potato Sports Show, the Break It Down Show, sir?
Yeah, hold on one second. I was just a little bit away from the computer when you asked me that. No, we're just going to get into some of the sports. The NFL training camps that are going to be coming out. Got an announcement that we're going to be announcing on the Couch Potato Sports Show that involves you. So you need to be there at least for the first 10, 15 minutes if you can. And then, of course, we've got basketball, some of the trades and the moves that have been going on in basketball. And then, of course, Major League Baseball. We're going to kick right into some sports. I'm not sure if Cuervo is going to be there. I haven't been in contact with him since Thursday. So he knows about the show, but we'll try to get it done.
Yeah, I will be there with you, Couch Potato. And then I've got a lot of stuff I'm going to handle. I owe Ian some stuff, and I just got to get off my butt. Email him to him now. So,
cool.
There, Ian, I said it twice publicly. How's that?
That's brilliant. Just keep on going, dude. Keep on going.
It's good, and it's true. It's true. For those of you that know, I did not post anything anywhere yesterday. I was on complete incognito silence. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for the correction on the time. Yeah, I appreciate it. Someone's listening to me. Thank you, Matt. And welcome to all the guests in the chat room, of course. My wife hid my phone yesterday.
Oh, you deserved it then, evidently. You did something. Evidently, she wanted you all to herself yesterday. Was it your day off?
It was my day off, and my wife wanted us to have a family day, and we did. And let me tell you guys, as much as it did worry me, because now, I told Ian in the morning, I'm like, holy man, I had a lot of comments and messages, and there are two missed calls from you too, which I gotta see what's going to be happening. But yeah,
no,
ladies and gentlemen,
I didn't put it in the answering machine message. So when you hear it on the Couch Potato Sports Show, you'll be right there. You'll hear it for the first time.
Yeah, and I am looking forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, it's been awesome. Tim McLeod just showed up in the chat room. Thanks for joining.
Timmy.
It's always great. So Tim also is from the great Imperial State of Canada. Maybe we'll have Tim also on with us when we do our Olympic coverage. So he's another gentleman I'm going to be contacting. We're going to find out the status on the big dog this morning. It's not that big of a deal. I'm just saying this for Tim because I know he's in the chat room and for Matt. I don't think he heard it earlier. I spoke to the big dog late yesterday. I think it was around maybe 9 o'clock. And he mentioned to me that he would do his best to either be here or to call in. And he's just, you know, wasn't able to be in this morning. He has good days and he has bad days. And I think he was hurt by the fact that my wife was saying, oh, no, hell no, he better not come here. He's got to take care of his kids.
That's right.
So I know he was calling me a jerk again. I'm sure it was. It was so funny. We were right here in my office, and the big dog called, and Maggie was here, and I said, hey, big dog, you're on speaker. And he was talking about coming here, and my wife, who supposedly doesn't understand English, started giving me this crass look. Yeah, again, you all know this joke, guys, and supposedly she doesn't know English. She got mad, and I said, big dog, hold on a minute. And the big dog speaks Spanish. My wife lit into him. By saying, you just got out of the hospital today. You're going to come over tomorrow? I mean, she lit into him for about 2 minutes. And when she finished, the big dog says, jerk. I could almost hear the tears coming out of him. He's like, you jerk. And it was funny. I was just laughing because, of course, I had my wife in front of me. What am I going to say? Oh, yeah, you know, she's mean. What am I going to say? But my wife has been, you know, any chance she gets to speak to him or say something, she's like, dude, you got to take care of yourself. This will pass. And it's true, ladies and gentlemen, this will pass. The status with the big dog is he has lost weight, he is doing much better, and he is hoping not to have the defibrillator permanently installed.
Good.
I spoke to the big dog on this, and this is the issue, guys. He was having shortness of breath when he was here 3 to 4 weeks ago on the last Saturday he was here. And that's when the one where you guys all heard me say, you know, hey, big dog, what's going on? And he told me that he was having problems breathing. He would inhale and he couldn't even take half a breath, guys. And me, who have that fear of not being able to breathe, I went into full paranoia mode. I said, big dog, right now, let's go to St. Francis. It's a mile away. Let's go, dude. And he wouldn't go. And I spoke to him for 40 minutes trying to convince him to go. And I said, I'll take you. I can't put you on my back, dude. You weigh 40 pounds more than I do, and you're 2 inches taller. But I'm saying, let's go. He said, no, I'll go. And you know the story is he went on Monday, and they didn't let him go home. And he was diagnosed with a congenital heart failure, meaning it's just it happens. There's a defect in his heart. And if you guys think of your heart beating right now, you're normally beating between 60 and 70% of your heart's capacity. So, ergo, your heart is constantly supplying blood and minerals to all of your body, such as your fingers, your legs, and all that stuff. That's what keeps the supply going. When your heart starts to beat faster, it beats at 80, 90, whatever percent, while the big dog's was beating at 20%. Meaning his legs were not getting sufficient air. His legs were swelling up and because they were not getting air down there. And that's what was happening. He was keeping the water, and he didn't look well when he was here that Saturday. And that's what I'm saying. This guy just ballooned. He gained about 30 pounds in about 2 weeks. That's a lot. And he was retaining water. And he went to the hospital, and they immediately installed one of those defibrillators, which he carries on his side. And that's what it is. That's what he has. And if it doesn't improve, they're probably going to
you know, they're probably going to, what am I going to say, have it installed in his heart in September if he doesn't improve. So,
well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're definitely going to keep our fingers crossed, ladies and gentlemen. And I know I had the big dog's permission to describe it, but, I'm glad.
And, I mean, as we were saying the other day, if they operate, we don't want him to mess up and turn him on his stomach and soak his butt because, you know, then they may be talking shit all the time, and, you know, we can't have that.
Well done, Ian. It was funny. I mean, he comes back. I think he was on joke night. And you were with me, Ian. I kept thinking pot shots at the big dog, huh? That was CS, man. That was uncalled for by me. As a matter of fact, I think it was the most aggressive night I ever had. I took pot shots at Ian, and I think Ian was like, what the hell, dude? Because I never take pot shots at Ian never takes pot shots at me. And I think Ian was in the mode of just telling jokes that I think I actually genuinely caught him off guard. Because Ian did not really respond until at the very end when he finally slammed me, which I thought it was funny. It was great. But
yeah, but the thing is, when I slammed someone, I slammed them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got put in my place later on. So that is an update on the big dog, guys. Yes. Yeah, Matt. OMG. Yeah, it's very serious. The big dog means a lot. Means a lot to us here on this channel. It means a lot to me personally. You all know I've known him since early 1988. Yeah, Matt, he could have died. And I know the Couch Potato went over to start up his program, so he's going to call in a moment. But Tim was in a program with me, and it could have been Saturday morning. I did get a little hyper, and Tim remembers. And I know that Tim and I both said it at the same time. He said in the chat room, and I said it on air. Tim's words were, cut that out. We heard a little bit of depression from the big dog, and I guess the realization had hit as to what his limitations were. And he said something that both Tim and I reacted to, that, you know, like, hey, cut that shit out. And it was interesting because Tim wrote that in the chat room, too, at about the same time I said it. It did scare us a little bit, so much so that we both reprimanded him instantly. We didn't like what we were hearing, but I think he's okay. He's realizing that he has limitations, and now he's just got to move on. And it's just hard, guys. Yeah, that's right. You're right, Tim. Yes, we did. Make sure to tell him to keep his chin up. Better days are ahead. Yeah. I mean, speaking of the Star Trek fan, God damn it, I got the resident Borg here with me. I guess Ian didn't
we
like
we will that. Add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own.
Sorry. yeah, you're right. I think I was taking those pot shots at him on Tuesday night on joke night. So, yeah, you see, Tim remembers that exact moment. We jumped all over him because he said it so nonchalantly that I overreacted and Tim did too in the chat room, and we're just like, dude, cut that shit out. I don't think I'd ever heard Tim swore. Well, I don't think Tim swore, but he just said, cut it out. And it wasn't good. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the good news is with the Lakers signing the Knucklehead, they are already happening. Yes, Tim, yes. I did not comment about the signing by that, but I was hoping the big dog would. We are down to a few minutes. Actually, we're down to about 6 or 7 minutes, so I know the Couch Potato will be coming back so we can continue this program. But it's a lot of stuff going on, both in the NDB Media Empire as well as in the world of sports. I think we had a good program this morning, no matter what. I love it when we talk James Bond, Bikini Girls, and the Olympics. How do we go wrong with that, Ian?
Well, you know, there's another sport in James Bond, and Bikini Girls not very, very sporty. So, you know, I think we kept on topic.
Oh, hell, I think we did. Ian, I just saw this movie, by the way, yesterday, because James Bond is really on in the American channels right now, on every channel. For some reason, it's just James Bond month, and maybe it's due to the Olympics. I don't know. But I saw Die Another Day again yesterday, and when Halle Berry comes out of the ocean, what's your comment on that one, Ian?
Oh, my poll is most definitely voting.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and we are talking about pole vaulting, so we are keeping
my
it on the topic of Olympics.
My javelin is javelin.
You know, David Justice, you moron! David Justice was married to her, and his whole thing was, yo, babe, you married me, you can't do what you do anymore. I'm like, this is a young, hot, good couple with the chance to make millions of dollars, and he says, nope, you stay home. What a moron! If I'm married to her, I'm like, dude, you gotta keep working and we'll retire in style. But he blew it. Let's see. Matt Alvarez says, I might go see Spider-Man later. That's a good thing. Yeah, Tim says, idiot, to David Justice. What a moron! We do have a couch potato on with us.
Don't go at midnight. Just don't go during the day. Your chances are a little bit better. You know, be careful.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if Ian caught this, but there's news now coming in that apparently this kid was emulating. Did you hear about this?
The Joker.
Ian, that he was emulating the Joker. Apparently there's a website on there. Have you caught any of this?
4 minutes until showtime.
Guys?
Is this the guy that actually shot up a movie theater?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of advice with him. You should have used the fucking tank.
Yeah, you know.
Joking aside, you know, like, that was just pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it was. It was very much. Sonny, what's the deal? Because I really have been on a media blackout. See, the big dog was actually pissed at me because he said, I thought you were going to be covering the shooting. Because NDB Media does stuff like this. I said, yeah, but by the time I woke up, it was already 8 hours old. And, you know, we usually won't do that. And besides, where the hell were the other hosts? They could have gone live. But anyway, Sonny, what's the deal? Yeah, they could have, damn it. What's the deal with this guy wanting supposedly his website being Jokerish?
3 minutes until showtime.
He's big time into what the Joker was all about. That's what I heard. And this guy was like really like paranoid, delusioned, and all this other stuff. I mean, according to some of the reports that were out, he Jimmy rigged his own home, an apartment to where if anybody opened the door, it would have went kaboom. They finally got through a window, evidently, and were able to undo all the problems that he had set up for the apartment to blow up as well. Just a loon, there's just something wrong with the kid's head, and I don't know what it is, but he is a 24-year-old doctoral student at the Aurora University.
2 minutes until showtime.
But he lost it, but he was a social media dude, and he found anything and everything that he could possibly get on the Joker and read up on the Joker, and he kind of figured he would emulate what the Joker would do in these days, and that's what he did.
Yeah. Tim put an interesting comment that I had not realized. I don't know if you even knew this, Ian. We do know of what happened in Toronto about a month ago, and Tim says what was truly both sad and bizarre was that the girl that was involved in the Eaton Center shooting in Toronto a month back was in Colorado a month later, which was a few days ago, and she was killed in Colorado. So apparently she survived the Eaton Center shooting, and then she didn't survive in Colorado.
1 minute until showtime.
What are the odds of being involved in two high-profile public shootings? Matt says, killed a 6-year-old girl. Yep. And this kid was going to be a doctor, asked him. There's a fine line between genius and nut job, and he fell to the wrong side. My friend said like this yesterday, I hope he gets more than just a slap on the wrist. Matt, he's going to get a lot, and if he did kill that child, I'm sorry to say, but he's going to get it in the end in jail.
guys like that, no. Because the criminal that's in jail, their only one thing says, that could have been my kid. And that's the only guarantee, is he'll get it in the end. Ladies and gentlemen, we are finishing up Sports Talk with the guys. As usual, we do appreciate it. We thank you. Head on over to twitter.com/NDBmedia, ndbmedia.net, and we're down to a few seconds.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
It's a Monday or Saturday morning. Good morning, good morning, everybody.
You think that you're better?
Sonny Clark.
Well, you better get
the
ready.
The smartest working man in sports radio.
Bow to the masses. Break it down.
It's Saturday morning. It's the Couch Potato Sports Show, Break It Down Show. It is Saturday morning as we take the handoff from with the guys home at the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. And just a shout out to our robo dog, big dog, Peter. Hopefully everything is well. We got you on our minds. Pick up the phone. Let scorekeeper at least know how you're feeling when you got some time. We are now in the transition period from Sports Talk with the guys over to to Couch Potato Sports Show. Roger, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Hardest Working Man in Sports, Sonny Clark. I am doing very well. We just lost Ian. I know he had a bolt. So we're just going to continue on with everything that's going on. I got to tell you, it's great.
Yeah, and let's go into some great news that we've got here, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's something that the scorekeeper has encouraged me to do, and with the help from the IFL, we already know that the Couch Potato is the radio voice of the Allen Wranglers, but the Couch Potato also is going to be the radio voice of the Lone Star League next year. And just to let you know, it is another indoor football league that's based out of here, of Dallas, in Texas, I mean. And they have their championship game. Unfortunately, we could not cover that because of exclusive contracts that they have with the teams to where we could not broadcast that game. That is going to be a different story next year because we will be covering games week out of the Lone Star League. Nights where we're not covering the Allen Wranglers, we will be covering Lone Star League. So if you wanted to be a part of that scorekeeper, we would do it the same way via the way
yes.
We do it through the media feed and call the games. And we just got another one underneath our belt. All we got to do is turn. I have a conference call with Darlene, who is the Lone Star League commissioner, and we're going to decide what kind of contract that we were going to do. But she says that's what we're going to do next year. She wants more publicity for the Lone Star League, and it's relatively cheap for her to do so, to work with the Couch Potato Sports Show, which it actually works out pretty good for us as well. So just to keep your eyes and ears open for that, we will have Lone Star League coverage on the Couch Potato Sports Show next season going into the Indoor Football League, of course, after the NFL. And so it's something to look forward to. Around March is when it kicks off, and we're going to get into that. So that's some good stuff, good news for the Couch Potato Sports Show rolling into here on Blog Talk Radio. And Blog Talk Radio has helped us, which normally we had a hard time getting Blog Talk Radio to support any of our shows, but boy, oh boy, we went total, in case you didn't know it, scorekeeper, 10 weeks in a row featured on our football games in the IFL, and we kind of expect the same thing to be happening next year with the Lone Star League and the IFL as well. So we're getting some coverage here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and it's going to be good for us as well.
Yeah, Sonny, I think it's going to be great.
based on what you're talking about.
You are now in the host queue.
Oh, I am now in the host queue. Kind of cool. Just kidding. That's because I heard that in the background. Who knows, Sonny? We may actually, if we're going to do this live, we may need the second channel, which we're ready to go on that, and we'll see what we'll do. We'll talk about that later on. And if we can do them all live, I think that would be absolutely awesome. I think it'll be great.
Yeah, well, as far as the Lone Star League, it might be a game of the week. So when we're covering the Allen Wranglers, which is the pure understanding that I have with the Lone Star League, because I'm already on board with the Allen Wranglers. The good thing about the Lone Star League is they have games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, usually during the year. So us doing an Allen Wranglers game one week like we normally do, and then head on over to do the Lone Star League the next day, whether it's Friday or Saturday, depending on how that works, we'll put it together and have a couple of football games via Blog Talk Radio, via the Couch Potato Sports Show, and if need be, of course, NDB Media Sports Channel as well. So something to keep in mind. We're enterprising, getting out there, and plus I love calling the football games, so it's a kick in the pants, and we're going to be doing it here. So that's good stuff as far as that is concerned. Also, to let you know, I am in also negotiations with the AFL as well, the Arena Football League as well.
The original.
To get their yes, the Arena Football League. I've been in contact with Anthony Heron. He is the he also used to be an NFL player, and he said he, of course, the couch couldn't resist to ask him if he'd be on our show. He's going to be on our show as well, but we're going to be working together with possibly the Arena Football League as well, calling football games. So this is going to be something that, you know, it started out as just something that I'd like to do with the IFL and the Allen Wranglers, and we found out that we are not the worst in the world at doing this. So since we're not the worst we're actually picking up. I've had a couple of internet radio stations contact us for high school football and things like that, and I'm already working as far as high school football is concerned. But we may even find more work that way, too. So we'll have lots of football coverage on the Couch Potato Sports Show, which is something that's exciting for me.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, and you know, we are very humble about this. And, you know, first of all, let me establish we, okay? This is the we, okay? Sonny Clark is the apex predator out in the ocean. He is that shark, the great white shark. That is who he is. I am the Ploverfish. So that's the we. He is very humble in saying we. And I thank him. I love him for that. But let's make this clear right now.
Well, hey, there ain't nobody.
He is the apex predator.
The
I'm the Plover.
There's no one that hollers out the stats better than you, and drive recaps better than you, and I'm telling you, that's where it is. And so we don't know where all this is going, but I do know that it's something that I've been looking forward to. It's something that I'm excited about, and my wife, she says, hey, it's not a job if you're going to end up getting paid for doing something that you really like, and that is probably going to be the case as well. So we got all those things that could end up happening as far as the Lone Star League, IFL, possibly some high school football being thrown the way on the Couch Potato Sports Show as well. So we're going to keep it all open in the air. And as far as the two leagues in the spring or in the off football season, we're going to handle some indoor football. And boy, and I never realized how much you like it until you get in there and you call it and you see it. And of course, doing the playoffs like we did in the IFL, and of course, the United Bowl as well. If there was not any exclusivity on the radio programs that play the Lone Star League, we would be calling the game tonight, which is the championship game on the Lone Star League. But that's not going to happen. But next year we're going to be a integral part of getting the word out about the Lone Star League and then, of course, the broadcast. So it's going to be a kick in the pants. It's going to be fun, and it's all going to be here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And boy, I'll tell you this, Scorekeeper. When we first started jumping into the Couch Potato Sports Show February 2009, we didn't expect it to get where it is right now. And not that it's like a huge enterprise or anything, but it's something that you like to do, and we have been able to put it together and have a lot of fun doing it. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity. Just to let you know, big time news, IFL, Lone Star Football League, indoor football. It's just going to be cool here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and I'm looking forward to it. And talk about travel, you know, with the wife working for a major airline, I can hop a plane and maybe catch the games live within Texas, which is kind of neat too. So we got all that going for us, so there we go.
Yeah, and didn't I say at the beginning of my program, the jet setter, I said it. I acknowledged it, ladies and gentlemen, when I did the Couch Potatoes intro, so now it's said on this program as well. So if you want to listen into that moment, it's over on Sports Talk with the Guys at about the 6:30, I'm sorry, about 37 minutes in or so when I'm doing his intro. I thought it was a funny song that I did for him. I don't even remember which one it was now. But it was funny. I still like the other song that I have for him, though. And that one's going to stay for a while.
Sanford and Son don't get much better than that. So
no, but, you know, ladies and gentlemen, look, all kidding aside, you know, the Couch Potato does say we don't sound that bad. Look, I didn't know how well we were going to sound. We are not the professionals as we are, but we love what we do, and we're going to tell it the way we see it. And we do. And honestly,
and that's the difference.
Yes, and I enjoy working with a Couch Potato on this, because if you listen to our programs, we do not speak over each other. We do not, well, okay, we cut each other off when we have to, but it's very far and in between. Considering that we do not do this program side by side, I actually believe that we do very well. And it's,
absolutely.
It's really a lot of fun. I do the stats and all the numbers when I don't have access to the feed. And when I do have access to the feed, you hear our commentary, and it is a lot of fun. When you listen to the United Bowl game, listen to us in the third quarter. This is how invested the Couch Potato and I were. We were pissed. We were pissed at what we were looking at. And I know I flew off the deep end. I was pissed. And I let it be known. I said there was a mistake. It was still a mistake, and I believe that was the moment that cost them the game. And I'm going to stick to it.
I do, too. As far as the United Bowl, I do, too. It took the moment. Now, the refs didn't help. Okay, the refs were taking the momentum out of the Fever's hand as well. But I think the final straw is the coach taking the momentum out of the football team as well. And boy, oh boy. And I hate to say that because I know the man. I've talked to him, doing the pregames and stuff like that and, interviews and stuff. I know this guy. He's a good guy. And I hate pointing out, and it's easy with us because we're broadcasting the games. And, of course, we've never played in that situation. We've never been in a pressure situation. He took the momentum out of their hands. But at the same time, Scorekeeper, he felt like they could get that job done or he was in desperation. It was one of the two.
Sonny, we're never going to know what the actual thinking was. I have been in similar situations. I have been in big games, and I know how you make snap judgments or you get an inkling. I mentioned in the broadcast, I said, hey, had they recovered the onside kick, this easily could have been the other way. But, I would have been, that was a pretty daring indigenous. And what I said after the fact would have applied back then, too. I said, you know what? If you succeed, you're a hero. If you don't, well, you get what you get what you did. And
exactly.
In this case, I just felt that they had gotten back in the game. They were 11 minutes, 17 seconds. And when they tried that onside kick, and it was a failure of a kick. It was
it was horrible.
And that felt to me like the players weren't even in it.
Yes.
And they're like,
oh my God, we're going to try an onside kick. And it felt like, oh my God, we're going to try an onside kick. And it wasn't there. It just wasn't there.
So,
but anyway.
And that was the huge thing. And that was the turnaround. We finally actually had time to talk about the United Bowl. Of course, Sioux Falls Storms go ahead. They get the win over there. They are the IFL champions tonight. The Lone Star League, they have their teams up and ready to go and for the championship. And they're playing in San Angelo, Texas. Tonight, 7:05, you have the Venom up against the Magic. All teams are located in Texas. Just to let you know where they're at, and we're going to be covering that next year. And they're not a huge league, but I think Scorekeeper made a point on this that makes it very easy for me to get involved with these. These are young kids playing a professional sport. It may not be on the level of NFL or, for all that matters, Arena League, but it's still guys going after their dream. And until you actually go out there and do it, these guys have got a passion of the game. And shame on you, Stephen A. Smith. Shame on you. And I go back to when the Allen Wranglers signed Terrell Owens. And I go back to this because I actually took offense. And that's one thing we're not supposed to do in this business is take offense. But at the same time, when I heard what Stephen A. Smith said about guys, you know, walking out of the cotton field after working 8 hours and walking, you know, off the construction site onto the football field after 8 hours, and then, you know, he evidently had no clue and his mouth was opening up before he knew what the event was all about. Shame on you, Stephen A. Smith. That's right, I said it, and I don't care. ESPN, my name is Sonny Clark. Y'all can kiss my butt. I don't care. So at that point, you know what you're talking about before you get in there, Stephen A., next time, please. So, but it is a great league. It's indoor football. It's guys working and going after their dreams, and it can't be a bad thing if it promotes going for your dreams. So that's the way I kind of look at it.
Yeah, and I wonder what Stephen A. Smith has done all of his life. He has a college degree. He's a sports commentator.
How many football fields he's been on?
What has he done? Where has he played? Stephen A. Smith, while you can be amusing at times, you are sometimes shameful, and I was resentful of those comments too. And when you were ripping in Terrell Owens, I don't really understand where it came from. And please do not tell me it is a cultural or race thing that I do not understand. Stephen A. Smith, I am a first generation right here, born in the United States. Do not tell me that I do not understand. I know what you're talking about, Sonny. You know, I actually mess with Sonny. I never say it on air, but I always tell him when I'm talking to him, I will say something, and then he just stays quiet, and I always turn to him and say, yeah, white man, what are you going to say? So Sonny can't say it. I can, and I will. And Stephen A. Smith, do not tell me that I do not understand where you're coming from. I understand. Stephen A. Smith, I played semi-pro baseball. I also played varsity baseball. Stephen A. Smith, what have you done? You doinked a bunch of boys and girls in college, right? Good for you, Stephen A. Smith. What else have you done? What have you done?
I'll give him his props. The guy knows basketball. I'll give him his props. I won't take that away from him. But when they need someone on ESPN, they go to, and I call him the punk thug of ESPN because that's what he is. He's a punk thug who thinks that his opinion actually means something. And if you don't take his advice of what he believes is right, you are completely off in left field. That's Stephen A. Smith. But then again, that's the arrogance of ESPN as well. So that's just another story within itself. But that's what we're doing here, sports. Keep your eyes open for the Couch Potato Sports Show. We are moving in hot and heavy into this as far as fun and creating a possible enterprise of something that can come out to where we get paid for our efforts, which I don't want to say get paid for our talents because there's plenty of places where we can improve, but get paid for our efforts, and that's one of the things
Clark,
that we're trying.
Yeah, I am going to cut you off. We are sports personalities. That's the way it is. We are personalities, and that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't believe that we are better than anyone else. But let me tell you, there is a certain arrogance that does come from us because we are actually doing it. That's the difference, is that we're doing it. Again, apex predator, pilloverfish. Once you understand that, everything is good. We
I hear him laughing in the background.
Our confidence comes from actually doing it. Trust me, we were ridiculed. We were made fun of. But ladies and gentlemen, someone else could have been doing this. And that's why, again, apex predator, plover. And my admiration for Couch Potato for making this happen. So, guys, you could have made it happen. You could have, but you're not. So
it's part of what they do, right? So, so if you take a listen to our first broadcast of the first Allen Wranglers game, then go to that playoff game, you'll see how much we have improved. It's my dad, who is our harshest critic, by the way, he said, "Boy, you guys sucked in that first game. That was horrible."
Well, we had a lot of fun.
It was fun. That's what I told him. It was a lot of fun. But now we're going to get into how we can improve the game, and we had. And just to let you know, Roger, we have broadcast not just the 14 games that were part of the Allen Wranglers. We have now broadcast 21 football games as far as the IFL are concerned and everything else. So there was no place for us to go but up. So, you know, we
oh,
got
don't
lucky
call
and we
us the Adam Dunn of IFL. Do not, Sonny Clark, because this plover will bite your hind fin.
We can't hide that one. You're right. So yeah, we are not the Adam Dunn. But then again, good stuff. But just to let you know, we're expanding and looking forward to some fun time. I actually, I've never called a volleyball game, but I'm actually talking to people about maybe calling some volleyball games. Now, as stupid as that may sound, I dig volleyball. I don't know why I do, but I dig volleyball, and especially on the college level, which is where we're kind of shooting to try to get maybe some coverage of some volleyball on the college level, too, just to let you know some of the things that we're trying to do on the Couch Potato Sports Show, just to have a good time and some fun. So it's good stuff. But, of course, we started off as a radio program to talking about sports, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to be talking some sports. I don't know how long you can hang out with us, Scorekeeper.
I'm probably going to be here all morning with you. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this brashly. Think of the names of both of our programs. Think of this one. The Couch Potato. The Monday Morning Quarterbacks. Think about that, folks. Think about that. Okay? There is so much into it. Lenny Melnick tuned in to our program when he saw it, Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterback. He got it. He got the joke of the title. We are not self-important. We believe in what we do, and I think it was great. Think about it. The Couch Potato. What does that tell you? And then the Monday Morning Quarterbacks. Come on, guys. It's so
small. We are just regular guys.
And we don't take ourselves seriously, but we are proud of what we do. And that that arrogance probably is what turns people off. But it's not arrogance. We are proud of what we do, and we can say it. And that's cool. I think BTR is having some problems because it looks like people are coming in and out of the chat room. So, Sonny, I'm going to ask you this. Bear with me a moment. I'm actually going to end this program, and then I'm going to head on over to you. I'm going to go and log in and come in as your co-host, if that's all right with you.
Absolutely. You're more than welcome. We'll do so. In the meantime, we'll go ahead and we'll talk about some of the news here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, some of the things that
we
hopefully...
Why don't you put me on mute then, please?
Okay, very good. You are on mute as we speak.
And now we are on mute as well, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to end up this program with Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We were doing our simulcast. A lot of good stuff with the Couch Potato. We're going to be done in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. So head on over to twitter.com/NDB Media, ndbmedia.net, and, of course, cinch.fm/NDB Media. It's a lot of stuff going on in the empire, a lot of stuff. So if you want to stay up on it, drop us a note, a line, visit our website, community.net. NDBmedia.net, or is it forum.net? Yeah, whatever. Head on over. Join the community. A lot of fun, guys. All right, we'll see you guys on the other side. Peace!